NFT.
NFT.
NFTs.
NFTs.
Non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, are exploding in popularity.
This is ZenChats. I am Zenica. Let's talk NFTs. Hey, everyone. This episode was originally recorded for my YouTube show, so just dropping a quick note to let you know that we at times might be discussing content that we're sharing on screen, and I know that that is not ideal for a podcast listener, but we recorded the videos first and then decided to turn into a podcast, so that's the situation. If you want to follow along, we will have a link to the full video in the show notes. And moving forward, we'll try to avoid too much screen sharing content just for the podcast listeners. All right, hope you enjoy nonetheless. Hello and welcome to another episode of ZenChats, a show where I talk to real people working on real projects. And I'm Zenica, and today I talk with the team from Stumpy Tree Friends, a wonderful project from my homeland, Australia, where this group of friends came together to launch a project because they wanted to do good in the world. They wanted to help the environment. They wanted to plant trees. That's the crux of it. That's the core of it. That's the beginning of it, actually. There's so much more, but one of their core missions is to be a carbon negative collection and to help other collections, you know, reduce their carbon footprints as well. They have ambitious plans that scale far beyond just this beginning mission, but I think it's just a really good, it's a really good vision that they have and way that they're approaching the space, different to most other projects, honestly. And there's cool art, there's cool perks, and you know, we're going to get into all of it, so you'll hear it. If you enjoy the content, please like, follow, subscribe to the channel. It really, really helps. Let's jump right in. Hello, welcome, friends. It's really good to have you all here, and I'm really excited to chat about Stumpy Friends Treehouse with all of you. I'm so excited. We chatted last week. I think it was last week. Time is so weird.
Yeah.
Recently. And then I was fascinated by your project and all of you and what you're working on. So I thought it'd be really cool to share what you are working on with my community and stuff like that. But before we get into the project itself, I think it would be really cool if we do like a round of introductions. If you can just quickly go through your background and like how you got into NFTs, and then we'll jump into the project. Maybe starting with you, Gene.
Yeah, no worries. My name's Sean Jamison. Everyone knows me in the space as Genie Boy. My background is physics and mathematics academically. And then after that, I worked in IT consultancy and IT business spend and research analytics for a couple of years. When I was working in that field, I sort of got introduced to Bitcoin really early. And then from there, the method to get into NFTs is quite easy after that, right? You just sort of stick to the space long enough and have an interest and a curiosity, and you make that jump over, which I did July last year. I was a bit later to the party than I'm normally am with a lot of the stuff with crypto, but it was been a very rewarding experience. And for me, I just love the collector's aspect, the community aspect, and it's just a space that, for me personally, I understand even better than what I would fungibles, and I've been in and out of that space since 2015. And yeah, it's been a wild ride, but yeah, very happy to be here. And yeah, I'm the project lead for the Stumpy Friends. So yeah, sweet.
Awesome. Addison.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going? My name's Addison West. I grew up in Sydney, Australia, about 1 hour south on the coast. And I'm the operations officer at Stumpy Friends Treehouse. My background is... So I studied photography out of school and then went into electrical from there. And from there, I went into copywriting and got a business coach, Ram Castillo, who is our coach for this project. Yeah. So, and I got into crypto, I think it was early 2018, sort of just after Bitcoin went to 20K, and, I started doing all right at first, got a little bit wrecked, but not too bad, and just sort of held on for the most part. And I naturally flowed into NFTs. So, yeah, and that's how I met these boys.
Awesome.
It's been a great ride so far.
Yeah, for sure. Feds, now you're on a boat. I feel like I had to point that out. Look at your backdrop. It's not fake. It's real. So, yeah.
There's a lot to say about that. So first of all, I'm Feds, and so I'm the lead editor and mission advisor on Stumpy Friends Treehouse. Now, when I say mission advisor, I'm referring to our environmental initiatives. So my background is a bit all over the place, but I'm going to talk about my conservation background. So I first started getting into conservation when I started working as a scuba diving instructor in Indonesia. And I started joining programs in which we were leading coral restoration initiatives in the southeast coast of Bali, in the southeast coast of Bali, in a small island called Nusa Lembongan. And so shortly after that, after I did that for a few months, I ended up getting into something a bit more hardcore, still about conservation and environmentalism. So this is when I joined Sea Shepherd, and I started crewing as a deckhand. And so this is like where I first got hardcore hands-on experience in conservation. And so Sea Shepherd is a marine conservation NGO, and it was all about illegal fishing, patrolling areas of third world countries against criminal activities. And in short, I was in Mexico for a while, and we were basically fighting against Mexican cartel to secure and defend an area that had a an endangered species that wanted to thrive in that area. Like that was their house. And we were basically patrolling the area and saying, okay, guys, you can't fish in here. There's laws and stuff. But because their governments cannot enforce it because they don't have the resources, that's when we used to come in. Anyway, so shortly after that, I moved to Australia, and that's where I got into tree planting. And so about crypto, I got into crypto a few years ago. And maybe just before, during the start of the bull in 2021, in the end of 2020, if I recall that correctly. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky, honestly. Like luck is a big factor, right? You talk about luck all the time.
Yeah.
I was lucky, and I did a few courses and stuff, and I managed to get some capital. It's also how I managed to buy this sailboat. It's not a yacht. It's not a super yacht. It's like a honest, humble sailboat. Then I got into NFTs, and that's how I met Addison and Genie Boy through NRN, Non-Refundable Network. So shout out to NRN. And this is where we're at.
Awesome. Yeah, that's such a wild background. I could talk to you about that for a separate podcast for hours and hours. I mean, the Mexican cartel and that entire world. But let's bring it back to Stumpy Friends. I guess like elevator pitch, or like in a minute or two, what is Stumpy Friends Treehouse? And anyone can tackle this one.
Yeah, I think I'll jump in on this one. Yeah, sweet. So for us, Stumpy Friends Treehouse is basically creating a new Web3 economy based on social change, right? So we release an NFT, some solid artwork, and we back the funds up from that in an 80-20 split that'll go to tree planting initiatives. With that, what we want to do is ourselves get our hands dirty and put the trees in the ground. So to start off with, one NFT is 10 trees planted in the ground. That will make our collection carbon negative. Into the future, we're going to use our primary goal, these environmental initiatives, to also make other collections mints carbon negative as well. So that would be my really quick elevator pitch.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. That's sort of like the power of NFTs, or one of the powers of NFTs and building these communities, is that you can really harness harness that for social change, social good. And I think we're starting to see some examples of that over the last 6 months, and we're going to see more. And this is a really cool example of it. Where did the idea come from to do this?
So, yes.
Do you mind?
Oh, do you want me to take? Yeah. Go for it, man. Go for it.
Yeah. So, sort of. If we rewind back to the beginning a bit, Feds and I were talking a lot, and we wanted to, come up with an NFT project, and we weren't sure sort of what to do. We just knew we wanted to sort of like offset the carbon cost, basically, for NFTs, like, because they've got a bit of a bad rap. And yeah, we ended up like talking to Genie Boy here, and Genie Boy had a great idea of creating like tree characters, and yeah, like ever since that was back in
November.
I think it was early October.
Yeah, it was possibly late September, and we've had a lot of discussion around this, and
I'd also like to add the concept of what it means to how can the NFT space have a physical impact that has meaning in the real world, right? I respect digital efforts. I respect it a lot. It's honest work. But what does that mean on an environmental perspective, right? Like, what does that mean for our planet? What does that mean? What can we do together to have that, to have those digital efforts reflect, physical efforts in real life?
Mm.
That's also a bit about the, the true concept of what we're about.
Yeah, and then for us as well, we drew our inspiration from the summer bushfire crisis that we had in the summer of 2019 and 2020. So I don't know how much this permeated around the world, but it was catastrophic. We had 3 billion terrestrial animals affected, most of them dead, a lot of them now endangered or getting close to critically endangered. And one of the big things that we noticed was we had for the people themselves to get money to rebuild their lives, because, the government wasn't really stepping in enough. They had the Red Cross bushfire appeal. They ended up generating about $242 million worth of donations, which is amazing. But, even 6 months after, they had only allocated 50% of the resources. Not only that, they took 5% of those resources, millions of dollars, to just pay in admin costs. They were originally going to take 10% before they were basically got a lot of public backlash and, reduce it to 5%. But that's because the fund is so big. If you actually think about the Red Cross in total and all these little initiatives, they're taking so much money and taking way too long to do it. And you're also relying on goodwill donations to have this effect, which can only go so far. So instead of that, we want to flip the script and create a Web3 asset economy that will fund these environmental missions, where we ourselves can use our manpower and our community engagement to get these environmental missions done. Because the other thing we notice is that a lot of these charities have problems with manpower and labor. And, that will also feed into their admin costs, right?
Mm.
And that would be one of their biggest costs. So for us, we're going to get the community involved, and they're going to be rewarded in our positive feedback loops in our asset models. So, yeah, that was the whole inspiration behind it.
I mean, I remember those bushfires. Yeah, it really did permeate all around the world. I think everyone was talking about it. There were some really stark, confronting images of the chaos, basically. But then sort of COVID hit, and it's sort of like one world disaster dwarfed another, and it stopped being spoken about. But the aftermath of it, as you said, it's still being felt now. There's endangered and critically endangered species that are I love that sort of you're trying to figure out Web3 ways to help, basically, which is amazing. Let's bring it back to the project. Sorry, Feds, do you want to jump in?
No, I just wanted to also maybe expand on what Genie was talking about, because that's actually, I mean, it is part of the project. It's part of our mission statement. It's part of our proposal, right? Like, there's a problem and then there's a solution, and then that's what we're proposing. And but before we get into that, maybe we can clarify what is Stumpy Friends and what is Planet Capital. So maybe Eugene is actually, maybe he wants to do that.
Yeah, no worries. So for us as well, so we have an overarching holding company, Planet Capital, which we're going to register that business as soon as we've got everything sorted out on that back end, and we're sure that that's the business model that we want to stick to. Like, you know, we've got to talk again to see what actual business structure is going to be suitable for our needs. But anyway, Planet Capital is going to act as a holding company where we're going to release NFT projects under Stumpy Friends being the first one. Not only that, we're going to be using that to incubate other projects and use the leverage that we'll have from, you know, our community in the long term and in the future to, you know, get some of these environmental projects or projects that align with our values and ethos, which is, you know, Web3 economies for social change, because we're very bullish on this space. You know, we believe that if you're talking about gravitating community towards a strong center, a social cause is a way to get them there. And you can see it all the time. You know, you go to a protest and get 100,000 people. How hard is it then to get 10,000 people not to sell an NFT? You know?
Yeah, 100%. All right, so we got Planet Capital and we got Stumpy Friends as the first project under that. Let's go into Stumpy Friends. What is it? Is it a PFP project? Is it something else?
Yeah, so Stumpy Friends is a PFP project. Digital identity is important, and I think it really will help us leverage our brand, especially being the first project under Planet Capital. So with that, we have cool things in the digital identity side of thing that will come out in the longer term. But for us as well, we feel like to galvanize community, we should have a profile picture project first. We want people to connect with the art. We want people to connect in the community and feel like, you know, I am my Stumpy and my Stumpy is me, you know, that whole sort of thing. And I feel like, again, that will really engage the community and get them out into the field with us to do some of these environmental missions. And not only with our rewards model, but just the connection they'll feel as part of a PFP universe.
Yeah, no, I love it. I think you hit the nail on the head. There's power in identity and digital identities. And in terms of building a community, it's really helpful to have just a common thread and identity and visual representation of it. How many NFTs? Is it a 10K project? Is it?
So
3,000.
Yeah. So, why 3,000? Yeah.
Why 3,000?
I mean, because like everyone does 10Ks basically. And then so whenever someone doesn't do that, or they do like 8,888 or 9,000, like whenever someone significantly changes, I always want to ask why.
Yeah, well, to be honest, why 3,000? That's because we let the community decide. So we offered a few options. We gave a few reasons on why, you know, it would be better to go with each of these options. And our core community, which is still relatively small, but, you know, we put it on a vote and they decided on 3K. So that's what we're going to go with.
And if I want to elaborate on that further, for when we were explaining the pros and cons for this, we were serious about limiting the amount that we want in this collection. We want to sort of have a Genesis feel, but again, we need to have enough people to get what we want done. But as well, we don't need to sell 10,000 NFTs. Like, you know, we don't need that cash up front to deliver on our primary goals and a lot of our secondary or even down the line, the third and the fourth goals. We don't need that cash for us. We want to be able to do the best we can and foster a really strong initial community. And having that smaller supply on the supply and demand curve becomes a lot more asymmetric, right? So a lot easier for people in that community to get a boost in their NFT floor prices, which will, again, help people stick around. So for us, we wanted to, you know, get as little NFTs as possible to start getting that tighter community feel, but as many as we could to also ensure that we can get our primary things done. But in saying that, we only need 10 or 20% of the NFT sold to start delivering on our environmental missions. And that will be our primary driver for growth in our opinion.
Yeah, no, I love that. Yeah, I think
that's right.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. And those are some really good reasons. And what you just mentioned, you only need 10 or 20% to sell before you can start delivering is fantastic. There's so many projects that I talk with who sort of rely on selling out before they can deliver anything, or you know, 50% of a 10K collection. And it's just, it's great. It's ambitious. And if they can get there, then fantastic. But in so many, I always ask, you know, what happens if you don't sell out? What if you only sell 10%, 20%? And there's often not a good answer to that because, you know, people want to be optimistic, which is great, but you know, realism is also important. So
I was just going to say, in the current market conditions, like it's actually hard for projects to sell out. And I guess that's half the reason why we opted for a smaller supply as well. Like not only are people drawn to a smaller supply, but it's actually easier to sell out. And there's a bit of a negative sort of thought process through the NFT space, right, in general. Like if you don't sell out in the first hour or few hours, it's like, oh, kind of like, what's the problem with this project, you know?
There's definitely a stigma, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But it doesn't really mean anything because, like, we've all seen projects that have taken months to mint out and then they settle out finally and then they explode. So, it's just like a perceived, negative outlook on these projects.
Yeah, some of the most successful projects didn't sell out instantly. And I always like to refer back to them. Bored Ape Yacht Club took a week to sell out. Punk's Comics took like 2 months, maybe 6 weeks. Blipmap took a month plus. Crypto Covens took over a month. It's crazy.
Expansion Punks take 3 months?
3 to 4 months, yeah. I think they launched in August last year and didn't sell out till December. And they're thriving and doing fantastic now.
It's a matter of perspective, right? Like Ladison was saying, you're going to look at it at a flipper's perspective and see if it's profitable or not. And then you can look at it at a founder's perspective and see what your goals are, right?
Yeah.
Just depends how you look at it.
And again, it really comes back to the fact that you can start delivering at 10 or 20% sold. So what does that look like, right, you know, in terms of delivering, planting trees? What are you going to do? Let's say you sell 20% or fully sell out. What's next?
I'll let you go for this one, Fed.
Okay. So first of all, what we're trying to deliver, I mean, we actually jumped into Stumpy Friends without actually talking about Planet Capital, but we can circle back in Planet Capital later. So with Stumpy Friends Treehouse, it's about fostering a conservation culture within the NFT space. And there's different ways to do that, but focusing on what we want to deliver, we want to plant 30,000 trees to offset the carbon cost of our 3,000 NFTs. And how do we do that? We will launch and execute a tree planting mission. We're talking about in the real world, okay? Not metaverse, nothing like that.
Okay. Real trees, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to clarify that.
Yeah, I know.
Web zero trees.
We get a bit confused. So the first mission, so this is one of the many missions that we're going to do. First mission is a tree planting mission, and the goal is 30,000 trees. The location is Queensland, Australia, depending on our first partnership with an established tree planting company that we're in talks with. And we're going to plant. So the plant type is gum trees, which are a great natural habitat for koalas, which are, as we know, an endangered species because of the bushfires of a few years ago. And they're also a great carbon trapper. So over the years, they trap a significant amount of CO2 emissions. So that's it. That's why we chose this type of tree. So it's also good to clarify that we're not paying anybody else to plant the trees. So we're not a third party. We're not donating anything to anyone. The funds that we're getting are going straight into the ground. So the funds are actually going into their nurseries to get the seedlings, maybe another planting company to rent some gear, and a few more expenses to make the mission possible, like media costs. Media costs, something we'll also circle back to. But But then after that, it's about Lattice and Genie and I, and whoever wants to join, which we already have actually many interested people that want to join as a planter, as a tree planter. And we're going to go out there in the field and put these seedlings in the ground. Now, the most important thing is showing that what we're doing. It's documenting this whole mission, and it's making, it's showcasing our efforts to our community and whoever's interested in our initiatives. So the documentary is a very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
A documentary is about showing the process of what we're doing before, during, and after scenes. And also maybe making it look a lot like a Hollywood style with action scenes and interviews as well. And I mean, yeah, it's we want to showcase what we're doing. So that's actually one important thing that we want to deliver.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I'm from Queensland, Australia. I love that. And I'd love to, just see that documentary and see the process and how it actually works. It's a whole world that I'm sure many people are not really privy to or understanding of. But it really is important. Yeah.
Yeah. And just to elaborate on that a little bit further as well. So the whole idea, right, is to get these trees in the ground and show how it's done, right? From there, after that, we scale up. So we start inviting community members to our second mission, and we're going to plant even more trees. Then we'll have another mission, scale up again, plant even more trees. After that, once we've ironed out all the kinks, we'll release info packs so that we can hold tree planting missions in other jurisdictions and have community members being ambassadors of those missions. And then as well, once we start involving community, we're going to start doing after parties in the bush after every tree planting mission. So I'm a vinyl DJ. I know a lot of vinyl DJs here in Sydney. I know a few up in Queensland and the Sunshine Coast, and we have a lot of connections with some DJs in the UK and Berlin. So so that's the other thing that this is going to factor into. And the community is going to get a lot of rewards out of the process of coming with us. Where everything in our project's designed with game theory and rewards in mind. So just wanted to elaborate that further.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds fun. You're really making it fun, which is really cool. I mean, that's Stumpy Tree Friends. Do we want to go back to Planet Capital and talk about maybe, Feds? I mean, other projects or bigger vision?
What does this mean for, Web3 in general? What does this mean for other projects? What does this mean for the NFT space? Because at the end of the day, if only this happens, then we're just an NGO that's growing capital, right, to fund their own missions, which, of course, there's nothing wrong about that. It's actually, it would be great. But we want to offer, so our value proposition is a proof of concept for other projects to lean on and to benefit from. So if they would want to adopt, if they would want to come about as being more environmentally friendly, introduce another value to their project or introduce another value to their vision as a whole or to attract more, to expand their customer segments, right?
Mm.
Then what better way to do that than to partner with an NFT project that's already doing that? Instead of, it doesn't have to replace donating to other established NGOs. It doesn't have to replace that. But we have a certain carbon cost that we want to offset, and that's in our collection. The thing is, other projects have their own carbon costs. But what if they want their carbon costs offset as well? Then we can enter into a partnership and we can include their carbon costs into our missions. So when we launch our missions and when we execute them, we are offsetting their carbon costs as well.
Yeah.
In turn, making them environmentally friendly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it sounds brilliant. How does it work logistically speaking? So let's say a project is going to mint out 10K NFTs or they've already minted out. And they want to sort of offset their carbon cost, become carbon neutral or negative, and they want to partner with you. what are the next, what does it look like from that perspective?
Well, so for us, we have 3,000 NFTs. We're planting 30,000 trees because we're going, you know, we're taking a few steps forward, right? We don't want to just offset our carbon costs. We actually want to, you know, become carbon negative and make a significant event out of it instead of planting. And we could easily plant, what's the ratio again? 3 trees per NFT?
Yeah. 3 trees makes it carbon neutral and 10 makes it carbon negative. We figured out, Feds did some excellent calculations. It ends up being about 50 kilograms of CO2 on average per NFT minted. And that's the equivalent of watching YouTube straight for 400 days. For a 10K collection, it's the equivalent of watching YouTube straight for 11,000 years for one NFT, yeah, for so the whole collection. So,
yeah. 500 tons of CO2.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll just elaborate on this further because there's this, we know in the space that Ethereum's the problem, right? Not the NFTs. It's almost kind of like blaming the steering wheel in your car for the emissions of the car itself, right, where it's like, you know, it's a combustion engine, but the steering wheel makes up a part of that, right? So the idea is that if you can do something within that framework to, reduce that carbon output, that's a good thing. We all know Ethereum's moving to proof of stake, but there's two things with this. One, how long is that really going to take? You know, I've heard proof of stake, you know, for the last 4 years, like maybe even longer. Maybe I think 2017 is when I first heard about proof of stake. And, you know, like there's one, how long is that going to take? And two, if you're talking to any scientist that knows anything in the climate change area, you'll know that we need to get carbon out of the air. This carbon cost of the NFTs of Ethereum is already baked in. So that isn't going anywhere unless we do something about it. And that's what we want to do.
Yeah. And once Ethereum 2.0 comes out, there's still going to be a carbon cost, right? So like that means people will still need to offset their emissions. And, you know, that's what we're here for basically. So, and yeah, you know, like on top of that as well, like the more projects we partner or collaborate with, like the more collections we offset the carbon cost for, that means more eyes on our project as well. So the more attention our project gets. And so, yeah, we've got what's called the stamp of approval, or also known as stamp of approval.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so when we do offset another collection, then they will get that stamp and, yeah, it can be, you know, we can like create an NFT or something. So, you know, on Twitter, how there's a hexagon profile picture. So we can like merge our stamp of approval with our display picture. So it's like 2-in-1 on that Twitter profile. So people know this is like a planet friendly NFT collection.
Nice.
As well.
Sorry, I'm just formulating a question. Why would a project elect to partner with you to offset their carbon footprint versus, say, buying offsets or some other option? Is there a benefit that,
So there's a twofold answer to this, I believe. The first one is an NFT project collaborating with an NFT project creates hype in the space, right? So if they're partnering with us, it gets people hyped up and it also reflects in more demand on their side. The second thing is there's lots of things you can do to for us to gain value from the other NFT project that might even end up being cheaper than actually offsetting it through, you know, other means. So for instance, we have also a strategic investment fund. Some collections can drop some of the NFTs in that, you know, because that already, that those NFTs are their IP. If they've got some team stacks, it really didn't cost them anything at all. But for us, they're valuable. For our investment fund, they're valuable, right? The other thing is as well, you know, you've got, they can always just send us ETH. Like, that'll be great. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be many options they can use. And for us, all we want to do with that end of things, because we don't need their Ethereum to get our things done. We're already planting these trees. So everything we get from that will be cycling into the community somehow with further rewards, whether it's like maybe a free merch drop, maybe a free, I don't know, it could be anything really. So we'll let the community decide on those sort of factors. But if it's either going to be, it's got to go to our treasury through an investment, which is we're getting significantly more value, or if we're getting the Ethereum value, then we're going to be putting that straight back into the community.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. Yeah, I mean, there's just something much more wonderful about partnering with other Web3 NFT projects to do things. Like, I think pretty much everyone in this space, if you can, and the option is to do something with a Web2 company or a Web3 company, you're going to go with the Web3 route just because it's generally better. And yeah, we want to support one another. And yeah, there are all sorts of untold benefits that can arise that are non-tangible. But yeah, like you said, whether it's building hype or just, you know, extra attention on a project, it's yeah, there are definitely benefits.
And we're very serious as well with having really strong collaborations. We don't really want to do a whitelist for a whitelist kind of thing. So again, if you're partnering with us to make your collection carbon negative, there's a lot of things we can do to add extra value. You know, come to our parties, your community. You planted the trees, come to our parties. You can participate in the tree planting missions if you want. You know, we've got, we'll have eventually like more VIP tailored experiences, both Web3 and in real life as well, that we can offer to collab partners. And you know, we're here as well. We're very active in this space and our DMs are open. So our collab partners, like, I want to bring together what I'm calling a community of projects. So the idea is the space is really nascent and it's so small. Like, what is it still? Like under 500,000 people that have ever bought an NFT or something like that? Might be a bit more now, but
it's like around, it's over 1 million wallets, but I think in terms of a unique humans, it's probably around that 500,000 mark. Yeah.
So the way that I see it, especially in how the space has been evolving recently, I've heard this so many places, people are starting to feel fragmented and lonely now because communities are fragmented. You know, the people that learn more tend to jump into many, many, many discords and not really sticking around as much. And the others that are, that do, you know, like a lot of the projects now, you know, you got like 90 to 95% are filth and a lot of them just get burned. So the idea is, and it's not all the time that the projects as well are necessarily bad because of what the team does. It's just they don't have the correct marketing or the correct way to get their eyes on the project. I've seen it that many times. You know, they've got good ideas and they're getting there, but it's just, you know, you're fighting for attention in this space. And if you can create a community of projects, then not only do you have community bouncing around the same people all the time because they're in the same communities, you're also helping these projects and uplifting them and getting the attention they deserve.
Yeah, no, that all sounds fantastic. I want to be part of these events when I come back to Australia. I want to come to these tree planting things.
Come along.
Yeah,
that would be awesome, man. That would be sick, honestly.
It will be. And I'm sure that it's going to happen because I'm going to be back hopefully end of this year, early next year, and I'm sure you'll be around
doing
these missions. So
that's great.
In terms of sort of like some of the parties, you mentioned you're a vinyl DJ and you're going to have events after these. Are these all Web Zero events, or are you going to do stuff sort of in the metaverse as well? Because obviously the community is global. Not everyone's in Australia, et cetera.
100%. And this again will sort of factor into when we start doing tree planting things in other jurisdictions. You know, we can have the parties there. We're pretty serious on getting to places like, you know, the Europe and the UK, North America and Canada and stuff like that. And then as we see where our communities are located, we can move to those jurisdictions. But yeah, we do have a metaverse strategy that I'm not going to elaborate too much on. But that's definitely going to happen. We're definitely going to have metaverse events. And again, that will tailor into our unique and exclusive, sometimes more VIP than others. But again, the more with our whole project as a community member, the more you put in, the more you're going to get out. Mm. That's how our whole model works, whether it's our green list, or which is our white list, or if it's coming to our tree planting missions. Like, the more contributions you can make, the more you're going to get rewarded. Mm. Basically our whole model. We just want positive feedback loops everywhere.
I love it. Yeah. That's the best model. The more you get out, what you put in, basically. If you take part and be part of the community, you'll get rewarded in various ways. Yeah. Something you mentioned earlier, I think it was like a strategic fund or something where other projects can you elaborate on that a bit and what that's all about?
Yeah, sure. So our whole idea is that, again, like, we're trying to do the most we can with the least amount of funds. We think that's, you know, the fairest way that we can launch a Web3 project. So for us, one of the funds that we'll have is a strategic investment fund where, you know, on the mint, we've gone allocate, I think it's about 15%. I've just forgotten the number off the top of my head. It's about 15% of the mint capital where we'll start creating a base, investing in some of our collab partners that we've got already, and also investing in projects that the community sees long-term value in. We're also, you know, we're connected to Non-Refungible Network, which is a network of really talented research people in the space and media and podcasts. So we have a lot of community that has a lot of experience in the space as well. So for us, we want to leverage that. We want to leverage their experience, and we want to leverage even our own experience to sort of build an investment fund based first off NFTs, and then we can go into fancy things like, you know, maybe staking some Ethereum or other things like that. But the whole idea is just to grow the treasury as much as possible over the longer term so we can achieve some really big ticket items, you know. So the way we see it, the NFT space isn't going anywhere. And if you've got decent projects that are here now, and if they've got the community backing, then as we've said before, under 500,000 unique users, what's going to happen when that's 10 million? What's going to happen when that's 100 million? Some of these projects will become quote unquote priceless. So for us, we realize that we can leverage that. And it's also a way for these other projects, as we said before, to help give us some value to get into making their collection carbon negative. And yeah, and also we can hold NFTs, and that can be something that if we've got enough of our partners' NFTs and both the communities agree, we can raffle one of those off to our communities where, you know, something like how if you want to be a part of that raffle, come to a tree planting mission or something like that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So our funding is actually all written in our white paper. So the last section of our white paper lists all our different funds, the different wallets, the purpose for each wallet, and the different percentages and what we aim to do.
I love that. It's transparency. It's like you can do that because it's Web3 and more projects should do that, honestly, especially given sort of what you're trying to do and you know, you have real world goals and visions and missions and everything. Yeah, I love it. I mean, just the fact that you have a white paper, let's just begin with that. 95% of projects out there don't even have that. We don't need to go into that, but that it's just always a good sign.
It is important.
Yeah, it is. Have you thought much about what's next after Stumpy Tree Friends in terms of future collections? Will there be other NFT drops? Will there be other things? Or is that just unknown?
Oh, yeah.
I might.
We've got to go on with this one.
We actually identified a bit of a problem surrounding the whole environmental issue we're trying to solve here with CO2. So, we actually came across some articles about some artists who were about to drop an NFT and then like pulled out at the last minute just because of like, you know, backlash about carbon or it doesn't stand well with them. So they might not have known till the last minute, and then they've gone, oh shit, like this doesn't align with my values. So I'm not going to do this. So we can actually approach artists like this, and these could be like some real big artists, you know. And so they might want to come through like the whole Planet Capital channel, and you know, we can, what's the word I'm looking for here? Yeah, we can essentially be the incubator for that project and obviously offset that collection as well.
And not only that as well, we have plans for other environmental projects with other NFT collections as well. The way that we see it is, well, we want to have this connected but also disparate, so it's a bit more non-dilutive, if that makes sense. So we've got to have a different environmental mission with a different community, but the Stumpies do act as an access pass, like you would with, say, an ape to get a mutant. You know, if you've got an ape, you'll get a mutant. You know, same thing with us with the Stumpy Friends. This is going to be more like our Genesis collection and an access pass to everything that's going to be involved in Planet Capital. So getting in on the ground floor in either of any of our collections will eventually just keep stacking and stacking those values and utility props.
Yeah,
I mean, and that makes the 3,000 edition size make a lot more sense, because it's a lot easier to say, if you have 3,000 to begin with and you launch another collection of 10K, the 3,000 can get one of those NFTs. Rather, if you do 10K, then you can never go down. So like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And we can also not have to even go all the way up to 10K. We can go to 6K, and that's quite acceptable, you know, doubling the size of the next community, right? And then when we go to the next one, if we're doubling up to 12K, that's the only first time our collection's gone over 10K. So.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. When are you thinking of launching?
So again, for us right now, we're very focused on building the community first. We're still quite small. That is by design in the initial stages. And now we're going to ramp up with bigger collab partners and trying to get the word out there. But, you know, it's hard, man. You probably have seen it yourself with many other projects. If you don't have a profile in the space, you know, or you don't have, you know, a big name background in like the Web 2 or even just the traditional business world, you know, it's sometimes it's hard to get attention. For us now, that is what we're trying to do, is get the attention that we believe the project deserves. Once that happens as well, we want to get up to a certain number, and we're going to close the Discord, and then we can start generating some more hype-based marketing without making the community too disparate. With that as well, we have a process that, again, if you contribute, you get onto our whitelist, our green list. So for that, those in get quote unquote engagement farming type of stuff isn't going to be your access to the whitelist. It'll be basically, you can do that to get into the Discord, and that will be, then you'll have your chance to get onto the whitelist themselves, or the green list, as we call it. So for us, again, we're starting out small in terms of our launch. We want to try and get it probably Q2 this year, hopefully as early in Q2 as possible. But we want to also prime for the correct market conditions. Mm. We want to do what's best for the community. And for us, if we're launching mid-bear, we've got to be damn sure we've got enough hype behind us to make sure, not even though we don't have to sell out, that isn't our primary strategy. We want to do what's best for our community. You know, we do genuinely care for the people in there. Most of the people in there are our deep friends from the space from a long time. So, you know, we want to do the best by them. So we're going to tailor the launch based on those two factors, but hopefully as early as possible in Q2.
I also want to add that there's something else that we need to, that we don't have to consider, but that it's important. It's just like a fun fact. It's better to plant trees in, drought conditions, like in rainy conditions, drought, in rainy weather, drought conditions. I'm not native. And we're approaching winter soon in Queensland, right? So this is actually the season in which I started tree planting, and it's better. It's better because it's way harder for the planters to plant under the hot Australian sun. I mean, you know, some days you wake up at 4 a.m. and you take 8 hours to plant 2,000-3,000 trees per person, and then around, you know, 1-2 p.m. you're done, because it's just too hot to continue. But most importantly, the seedlings that you put into the ground, they have a higher chance of survival when there's rainy weather. If it's just super hot and it hasn't rained in weeks, the seedlings are a waste of time and a waste of money and a waste. I mean, they're not a waste. It's a good effort. It's a good initiative, but you know, you have to go there and plant them again.
Yeah.
So Q2 will be drought conditions in Queensland as well. So that's just a fun fact.
No,
but the other thing with that as well is that Queensland's underwater right now. It makes it harder to plant when you've got to scuba dive and put the seedling in the ground then.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, that's insane. That's
Australia.
Insane.
Fires and floods.
It's messed up.
It is, yeah.
It's even more reason to plant lots of trees, right? To suck the carbon out and reduce the global impact of global warming.
Part of my academic background as well was I did some study on climate change, because I was doing organic solar cells. That was my honors project, which is a whole nother conversation for another day. But that's the thing, you know, you've got Australia is extremely prone to climate change. One, very, very prone to climate change. And there was a paper released in 2012 that said by 2020, catastrophic bushfires will become a lot more normal, a lot more devastating on the year it happened. You know, like it's, you can predict the, we've got some of the best climate scientists in the world. I know a lot of them have gone overseas, but a lot of them have stayed. And that's the thing. They're all saying the same thing. Australia is really bad for the effects of climate change. And it's really going to mess with our biodiversity, our food bowl, our, you know, just everything, our tourism industry, like everything. It's going to affect people's wallets. It's going to affect our unique landscape. It's going to affect our unique animals, you know, got some of the most unique wildlife in the world.
We've got the highest rate of extinction as well.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Australia's got the highest extinction rate of mammals. Is it mammals? I think, or maybe even in general. I can't remember.
I think in general.
Yeah, yeah. It's ridiculous.
So crazy. Mm. Yeah, sorry. I mean, yeah, I'm feeling sad for Australia. But, you know, yeah, you're trying to help and you will help. I'm confident, honestly, that with this project and all your initiatives, it's going to make meaningful impact. And yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it really is. This is just a different project to like almost any other NFT project out there, which is great to see. You know, it's not just another PFP project. It's something with real substance behind it. Not that there aren't tons of other great projects as well, but it's always cool to see something like this. And in terms of your launch strategy, I love that as well. Like, you're not rushing it. You understand that you want to build a community first. And that's honestly, I speak to 50 project founders a week lately, and so many of them don't quite grasp that or understand that. And you know, I try and tell them how important it is to build a community first and push the launch if you can. Don't try and rush it. The worst thing you can do is launch when you don't have enough demand, when the market conditions are bad. Mm. It's just because you can only launch once. You can't really relaunch. So trying to get that right, it seems like you understand that. And yeah, it's awesome.
For sure. That might be a good segue to talk about the community building initiatives and the green list process. Do you want to jump into that one, lad?
Yeah, sure. So lately we've sort of just been doing some like smaller collaborations to get the numbers up, posting on Instagram and Twitter, etc. And yeah, we've got a nice little community so far. And yeah, Gene came up with a nice little gamified green list system, which is obviously our whitelist, as we spoke about before. To get green listed in our project, you just need to contribute in some way, and that way can be completely up to you, you know. So obviously like doing quote retweets on Twitter helps. Just like telling other people about our project, I suppose that's like the main thing, or like the most important thing right now. It's really up to each individual how they want to contribute to the project. They might have a specific skill, say in marketing, or I don't know, maybe they've like been tree planting before and have some sort of like innovative idea on how we can plant the trees or whatnot. So, and even just like sharing that idea with us would be beneficial, even though Feds here is quite experienced in that.
Funny enough, we do have many planters already in our Discord, which is pretty awesome.
It's weird. It's weird, but great.
Yeah, I planted trees here.
It's actually surprising how many people have already done tree planting so far. And these are just like people we already knew, and we just didn't even know that they had done this before. And not only that, there's like people in our community who are heaps keen in getting involved, and which is great. And they've got like contacts overseas with, you know, people with land who want trees on that property. So it's, yeah, super helpful, which is awesome. So back to the green list. When you get green listed, you get to mint 2 NFTs on pre-sale, and then the green list is defined by our planter role. And then, we've got the planter plus 1, which means you can then mint 3 on pre-sale, planter plus 4, you can plant. Mm. Oh, sorry. Planter plus 2 means you can mint 4. Planter plus three means you can mint five on presale. So it's like, yeah, a bit of game theory for our green list process.
Nice.
The more you contribute, the extra NFTs you'll be able to mint, up to a maximum of five. So if you're really serious on helping us and building us, then we feel like we want to reward you as much as possible. And we feel like this sort of model will coalesce the strongest contributors towards us. And but that will gel the community together. And then, you know, having these people so keen to come with us in these in real life missions, we can form in real life bonds as well.
Mm. Yeah, no, I love it. I think that's it's just such a good way of doing it, you know, a pre-sale access green list process compared to sort of, you know, giving out 100 spots to people who like raffle off to a like, retweet, share type thing. You might build a little bit of hype, but it doesn't find people who are like genuinely interested in helping the project and being part of the community. And oftentimes the genuine people miss out in projects like that. Whereas if you're really, it takes a bit more effort, but you're sort of trying to reward those who are community members first and foremost. So I love that. Yeah. Is there anything? Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've covered a lot. Is there anything else that you want to touch on for either Planet Capital or Stumpy Tree Friends?
We've touched on a few things. There's a lot to be said. We can continue to talk about the projects for the next 2 days. but maybe we can clarify a few more things about Planet Capital and the vision of Stumpy Friends and the culture that we want to foster.
Yeah.
So,
and the education.
Yes. Mm. And the education. So we briefly said that Planet Capital, okay, it's a holding company of Stumpy Friends. So what does that mean? So first of all, Planet Capital is a blockchain powered conservation organization that directly funds environmental efforts around the world. To start with, our first mission is in Queensland, and then eventually we will scale up. Now, the role of the company is to hold a controlling interest in the securities of its collections, to oversee the fund allocations towards the required resources to execute these missions. So it's also it represents Stumpy Friends in the real world when executing these missions and when entering partnerships with a already established conservation organization, right? So that's also that's in short our the official role of Planet Capital. Now, we also spoke about the problem, and when we spoke about Red Cross, and I mean, Red Cross is, there's not really a problem. It's just how, so when I'm saying Red Cross, I'm saying the humanitarian services.
Friction.
Yeah. Also the friction. But I'm speaking about the largest fundraising that happened to solve the bushfire consequences, right? Red Cross is not the problem. The problem is having such a large business apparatus. The problem is capital inefficiency, right? The problem is having to go through so much friction in order to make that environmental mission possible because there's so many players involved, right? So at that point, when you have a large apparatus, admin costs are just necessary. They're important for a charity. They're part of a charity's investment. It's not only paper shuffling, it's also staff training. It's evaluation and monitoring of each staff. It's data collection. It's meeting legal obligations. It's overseeing the decision-making processes towards these resources, towards the resource allocations. They do provide a great structure to make the positive impact through volunteering and government grants and private funding. But we've come to a point in which climate disasters, require rapid implementation, right? Like it's we have to act fast. And this is why we adopt blockchain technology to have a more capital efficient business model.
Mm.
And so the way we do that is basically there's less fees involved because there's also less third parties. So there's less going through party to party to sign a contract, to sign a government grant, to make sure that this is possible, to get an approval of something. So there's less bank fees. There's no platform fees. We use software and online mediums. So that means there's no offices, there's no rent, there's no leases. We are a skeleton team. So the labor costs are also reduced. And in short, that reduces our admin costs. Right, because we are a more skeleton-based apparatus. Right, our organization is small. Like we're more rapid to execute these missions. We don't have to go through all these channels to make those possible. Right, so that's problem and solutions.
Yeah. I mean, it's fantastic. It's one of the beauties of Web3. It reduces a lot of the friction and cuts out the middlemen and transaction costs and fees and all that kind of stuff. Playing devil's advocate a little bit, let's say you scale and now all of a sudden have millions and millions of people part of your organization. It's going to cost a lot more. Do you think you'll still 100%. Be able to sustain this, quick to, get funds and allocate them? Or do you think at a certain point, you'll just have a lot more admin overhead and issues to deal with? Have you thought about that yet?
We have. Do you want me to take this one?
Yeah, sure.
So for us with our scalable missions as well, it is about scaling. That's very important. So not only that, we're going to be replicating small scale missions, but just in different jurisdictions and different aspects. Mm. So we're not going to scale beyond what is going to be needed to vastly increase these admin costs. We want to do this with not just the Stumpy Friends, but when we start doing environmental missions with other projects, it's all about scaling and keeping that structure. And again, the labor is going to be a labor of love for us and the community, right? So that's where those costs are going. When you're talking about admin costs, it's labor. Labor is the most expensive thing for 99% of businesses. For us, instead of making labor a cost, we give out as much utility and rewards as possible for doing this with us. So again, those costs are always going to be reduced in our eyes. But there's going to be extra that's going to go into it. And yes, we're going to increase the team. But again, the model of NGOs is donations-based. Ours is asset-based. So we're going to be able to generate a lot more money with a lot less. So for us, we've got a lot more, as Fez was talking about, that capital efficiency.
Yeah.
I mean, as we grow, of course, we need to adapt to what's best for us to maintain the our values of capital efficiency, our values of rapid implementation. It can definitely happen, and at that point, then we have to adapt and make sure that we stick to our values. It's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, it's good problems to have, right? Basically, if you get to the point.
If we get to the point, I'm happy. Although there will be some stuff. We'll get busy.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day...
So for us as well, it's all about being agile, right? The space changes that quickly and that rapidly. We want to implement that across all of our business model, which does include those environmental missions. If you're not agile in the space, then you're going to be missing a lot of the growth of the space as well.
Yeah.
And 100%. A bit of the power of Web3 as well is through voting. So if you hold the NFT, you get a vote in where the money goes. So say if, bushfires happened again, and I'm sure they will, then we could put forward a number of different ideas that the community can vote on. And, the top vote or the top two votes is be like the missions we go and do. So And that comes down to like, yeah, that's speed. Like you can get a vote done in 24 hours and then all of a sudden you're working on, you know, like buying the resources you need. And yeah, like obviously we've already got the community of people who want to do good for the world. And yeah, so I mean, like, I feel like it's just a lot quicker than a typical NGO.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Yeah.
I think, just inherently, if you scale to an enormous size, there's just because you're built in Web3, with that in mind, it's just like there's just less friction and less middlemen and less transaction costs that are just going to make it better regardless.
And a lot more automation as well.
Yeah. You brought up, Addison, the topic of votes. Have you, I'm sure you've thought about like whether or not it's going to be a DAO at some point and how that might fit into this whole model. Everyone is, it's like the buzzword of the last 6 months, DAOs. What are your thoughts and stance on DAOs and whether it might fit into the Planet Capital and Stumpy Friends model?
Yeah, so we did talk about having one, and I think we may do in some way, but we may not call it a DAO just for legal reasons. And like we've all seen collections being taken off OpenSea just because they've had the word DAO in their name, you know. So it's an area we need to tread carefully around and get some like proper legal advice around. But yeah, like as mentioned, we do have like our community wallets and stuff, so which will be fully transparent. People can see where that money's come from and gone and how much is in there. So, yeah. I mean, yeah. Did you want to add to that, Gene?
Yeah. So, you know, according to the current regulations, right, having these DAO structures can be a very legal gray area, and it can get your collection taken off OpenSea, and then you lose all your volume, you're not collecting your royalties, you're not achieving your primary goals, right? Or it's a lot harder to anyway. For us, though, we do feel like this is quite an important issue of giving the community the access to decisions in that process. So, but for us as well, we do have quite a unique vision, and we got some unique experience in these areas. So we do want to have what we're going to be calling like community treasury voting. So we're going to have ideas that we'll put to the community and different options. You can always suggest something. We'll definitely take it on board. We're very relaxed people, and we love brainstorming with our community as well. And we will put your vote up there, but it has to come through us, not just for the legal reasons, but for the initial vision. And just stressing that it's the initial vision. Once we get to the longer term and, you know, we're very, very established, we can, if legal things pending, create that DAO structure. Mm. But for us, like while we have to execute on this initial bit, well, for any business, not just an NFT brokerage, any business, the short term is the biggest risk. Like as soon as you launch.
Yeah.
So once we get through that stage as well, then we can start slowly transitioning to a DAO. If it's one fit for purpose, not just for us, but for our community. But there is going to be a lot of community voting for our treasury funds and how we allocate in certain ways. But those options again, and the types of votes we do, the suggestions the community has, it's just got to come through us first, just for those reasons I discussed.
Yeah. I think, honestly, most DAOs are not actually really DAOs anyway. And you can do basically everything without it actually being a DAO. And like you said, it's a huge legal gray area just because regulation has not caught up with the DAOs. Like they're not legally, what's the word?
Recognized
entities. Like governments just don't know how to deal with them. Like where does it fit into their legal system? It's really at the forefront. You speak to tons of lawyers and they're like, well, our best guesses are this and this, but you know, it could change. So
Only that as well, for us that it's actually registering as a business down the line, we've got somewhere where they can send a cease and desist letter to us and shut us down. It's not a true, because there's the DAO under our entity, eventually that means the entity can be prosecutable in a legal sense. Yeah. So for that, for us, especially in our unique case, we've got to be very careful.
Yeah, 100%. It sounds like what you're planning to do is very similar to, I don't know if you're familiar with Doodles. They have like the Doodle Bank, which is like, yeah 50%, I think, of secondary market royalties goes into that. And they seeded it with some fund for the primary sale. And then anyone in the community can submit proposals and then vote on it. And then they allocate the funds. It's not a true DAO. The team is still controlling it, but it's the community is very much involved.
We're actually doing OG.
Ah, nice.
Just saying.
yeah.
There was only we're like lucky again, but
Very
lucky. Super
grateful. Very lucky.
Yeah.
Again, shout out to NRN.
Yeah.
Shout out to Doodles.
Shopify. Was it Shopify? Someone just changed their PFP to a Doodle today. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? I didn't actually see that yet.
Yeah.
No, excellent. Yeah.
Anyway, we spoke about so many things, but we haven't really spoke about the art and what went into it and what it's meant to represent.
Yes.
So I'll just briefly touch on that. So also I'll share my screen in a minute.
Perfect.
Stumpy Friends was inspired by the consequences of, you know, the most catastrophic bushfire season in Australia. So Sean, the artist, actually experienced that firsthand. As well as Jeannie and Addison. They were all local residents in Sydney. So Sean designed a vivid profile picture with vintage traits and tropical vibes. He wanted to create a combination of something that looks modern with digital illustrations and something with that's the standard in early cartoon characters. It's also when we look at what the art looks like. Actually, I'll try to share my screen now. Should take 2 seconds.
Yeah, I'll just elaborate a bit further while Feds gets that screen share as well. So not only do we have the artist Sean, who's one of my best mates, and he's looking to jump in as a partner as well. So the artist is going to be forefront with us through this whole, not just the Stumpy Friends, but the Planet Capital experience. But we also have an iconography and artistic advisor. So a friend of ours in the space, he prefers to remain anonymous, but he's doxed himself to me, and he's had his abstract artwork featured in 10 Euro galleries in the early 2000s. And he's been working as a graphic designer in Germany and Australia for over 25 years. And he's seen brands emerge and brands fall, right? So iconography is very important for us. Like, what makes a brand and what makes art stand out? What makes it resonate, you know? Mm. So for us, that was very important. And those two together it's just been a godsend.
This is how the characters look like. Now, when we look at this, we want to know how does the planting culture, like, what is the tree planting culture? So first of all, there's actually a culture behind in tree planters. Okay. There's actually a strong community of super down to earth people that, are very passionate and very hardcore in planting trees in the ground. Now I know a few friends, but so the strongest planting cultures are in Canada and in Australia. There's also a few in Europe and in the UK. But so the value of these cultures, it's about, I mean, you can see in the traits in these characters, they rock, I'm losing my words here. They rock vintage traits often. So that's why we've decided to include, the boombox on the head, the vinyl DJ set on the head, these drums, like the board, the roller skates around the neck. I think it's in another page. So it's like these planters, they're really passionate about, being down to earth, and it's just funny because many of them like to shop in what's called in Australia op shops. So that's why we try to include
secondhand shops.
It doesn't matter a lot, but it's small things that we wanted to reflect in the collection. So also, it's about also being friendly and showing great vibes and tropical vibes, because it was born in a tropical climate as well. Mm. And it also describes the attitude of tackling environmental change, the environment of tackling climate disasters with a positive attitude, determination, bravery, and confidence in a new digital space. So that's the kind of what actually went into when creating the art.
Yeah, I mean, you can really tell the vibe and the aesthetic and the look of it is really just as you say, it's like it's vintage, it's tropical, it's, yeah. I mean, me looking at it, I'm getting homesick a bit because I haven't been to Australia in 3 years, and I'm like seeing all these things and like, yeah, it's,
yeah, you've got the cockatoo, and I think we've got like a little koala somewhere, maybe not.
Yeah, in the bottom left.
But also, like, you can see Stumpy has quite a proud stance. So, you know, he's quite proud of the conservation work he does.
Yeah, I love the facial expressions.
Yeah.
They're really, fun.
I also got a one of...
Oh, you're cutting out a bit there.
Yeah, losing you, Genie boy.
You got a one of one, Genie? I think he wants to reveal
I think I'm back. I think I've got that.
There we go.
Yeah, sweet. Oh, these goddamn headphones with, I don't know what's going on. They're fine on everything else except when I have a meeting with you. How's that for a joke? sweet. So I've got a one of one to share as well in a big close up so you can get some of these extra detail and expressions. So I'll share that now as well, Serge, if you want to drop that share down.
I'll get that away. All right.
Sweet.
Nice. Thanks.
Screen share. Hold on, I just got to allow these system preferences.
Yeah, well, add that, like, at Stumpy Friends Treehouse, we want to change the narrative. People often don't associate conservation with profit, and and that's like, yeah, they see it as an expense, but this is like the narrative we want to change as well. So we want to make conservation profitable. So the more trees we plant, the more other collections we offset, the more profitable we become and our holders become as well. So
it's asking me to quit before I can screen share, which again, it'll be,
do you want to
annoying.
Send me,
so I'm just going
to send
me
a link
it.
To
yeah.
it. Yeah. And I'll share it on my end. On that point, Addison, I love that. And I heard this phrase or concept the first time through the On-Chain Monkey Project, who they're really big on donating to charities I think one of the founders was on a space and he was talking about how they want to do good, but they also want to do well. And it's like, you can do both at the same time. You can do good in the world and also be profitable. And
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Which is, it's a great concept. And it's not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to send that to you on Discord. I think that's the easiest.
Perfect.
Here we go. Bam.
There we go.
Sweet.
Let me open that. And then, wow, it looks really, really cool. Share.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which one did you choose? I wonder which one it is. Because there's many.
You know which one it is. To the moon, mate. To the moon.
Is it? Oh, is this
one?
Can you see that? Yeah.
Wait, there he is.
Yeah. Looks so proud.
We showed the Arizona one Sean drew up just yesterday, or is that one a bit of a...
We just want to keep some of the 101s just really private for now until we get in a lot closer to launch. Then we can really start spamming them out and hyping people up. So... For this, though, what I'm really loving about this one, like, Sean's an amazing artist. If you actually look, I'm a physics nerd, as you probably already know from my background, but just the way the light in space as well, where you get those bubble effects off his helmet and even the reflection of stars in his visor, it's just his graphic vision and his execution is just flawless. yeah, some of the ones he's shown recently, like, yeah, have just blown us away. And it's really hard for me not to just share them immediately. Yeah. Like, to me, they're, I want to buy my own NFTs now. that's how bad it is. I want to own all the NFTs in my collection. I don't want anyone else to have them now. But that's the business model, right? We need to actually have some community.
You got to sell some. You know.
I'm almost close to say
that I really want to show like another one because I know this is going to be on Zeneca's YouTube.
Yeah, sweet. We can do that. I'll send another one. What one do you want to go? The art one or the cactus one or something else?
Do we show the tomato soup or is that
the Andy Warhol? There's Andy Warhol and then there's the vintage cartoon.
There's also the White House. There's also the Ranger, the Beaver Ranger.
Yeah, maybe show the Lighthouse one.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool. I really like that one as well. I think I want to save Andy for towards the end. He's probably my favorite one.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll just find that one. Just give me 2 seconds. Just while I'm doing that as well, I just wanted to elaborate as well that, you know, we're here for the long term. We're builders. So for us, I've already mapped out, together with Lad and Feds and the rest of the team, 6 months of development fully. We've fleshed out the ideas completely for a year and we've already got ideas for the longer term after that for many years. So yeah, we're serious about making this long term. So
yeah,
that's what we're all about here. And for us as well, we've been playing this for so long.
You want me to DM you the Lighthouse one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do that.
I'll
find it out
now.
So for us, it's all long term building for us, and that's for we want to be here in 5 years' time, not just for the Stumpies, but for our brand as well, and to also collaborate and make the space a success. We love the space.
This is so cool.
It's so good.
Yeah, look at his little mustache and pipe. That's so awesome.
I love him.
With a ship in the background as well.
Yeah. It's little touches.
Yeah.
I love him, but he's not even in my top three at the moment. But not to denigrate the Lighthouse. I really love him, but just the work Sean has done. Like it's amazing. And I'm just glad to give him the opportunity to jump in. He's completely green to NFTs. This has also helped in a way because we've shown him some collections, you know, to draw some inspiration off. But since he's so new, that's what makes the collection really unique. He's drawing from his own artistic style rather than what's in NFTs.
We
have some references and in some form of another, you know, we've got a pair of glasses trait with the Ethereum symbol on it. We've got some fun stuff like that in there. But we wanted it to be unique. We wanted it to hit the iconography mark. We wanted it to hit, you know, just the artistic mark in a whole different light that truly represents us and our brand and his work, his excellent work.
Yeah, that's awesome. How many one-on-ones are there or are there going to be?
We're just telling him, keep pumping them out. Like, and we'll make that decision when we get to them because they're so good. Like, I love all the rest of the collection. Don't get me wrong, but these are all his hand drawn and efforts that are then, rendered in through his graphic design capabilities. So again, you know, as you know, we've got the honorary system as well for some influencers that we're going to be using for different marketing techniques as we're getting closer to launch. And also we've got, you know, just this guy here, like his Lighthouse dude and all these other ones as well. So there's going to be quite a fair few and we love that. And we're going to include all these one-on-ones in the mint contract. They're not going to be something that some whale can come and buy. Sure, if like, you know, if you got the public sale and if it, like say there's 500 left and some whale buys 300, fair enough. But, you know, all the likelihood is that you've got like a lot of people in the general green list are the ones that are going to be getting the one-on-ones.
Nice.
And that's what we really want to do.
The yeah. one-on-ones are actually a very important part of the collection. Like we've seen with Carrefour, they've had more one-on-ones than most of all the other collections. And it really represents, it showcases how much effort the artist has put into the collection. And it also shows like a separate exclusive small part of the collection in which the artist actually curates every single one of them. And yeah. those end up being very iconic for the collection as they're most rare and they're also purchased by notable buyers, right? So those end up being the ones that are most marketed. That's why they're so important. And that's why we really want to put emphasis into that.
To elaborate on that further as well, you'll find the community members that pull the one-of-ones will end up being your strongest community members. This is why, in my opinion, Doodles did so well with that model originally by having so many unique one-of-ones or like very rare characters, you know, like 10 apes or 10 ice creams or whatever it is. Like,
yeah, that, they nailed the opinion, trait. Like,
yeah, exactly. So, and if they have so much uniqueness and a lot of one-of-ones and a lot of those really unique rares, you're going to gravitate for those holders to come and contribute to that community, in my opinion,
yeah, 100%.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for this project and to mint mine and then hopefully get some cool ones.
That's appreciated.
I don't think we spoke about it and you probably don't know yet, but in terms of mint price, do you have some sort of range that you're thinking?
Yeah, so the pre-sale price will be 0.08 and that's not going to change. The reason why it's, a bit higher than some other 10K collections is because purely for the fact that we're 3K. We feel that to offer that opportunity to buy into a smaller collection that has more of an asymmetric supply and demand curve will end up benefiting the people on that mint cost a lot easier, right? It's a lot easier to get the diamond handers to have to sustain floor prices when your collection's a lot smaller. So for us, 0.08 is quite fair. In terms of a public sale, it is going to be more expensive. We haven't fully worked that out yet. And we wanted to tailor that a bit to our demand, if that makes sense. Like, and what we think it's sort of worth, because at the end of the day, most of our allocations are going to be pre-sale. Like we have a feeling and, well, we actually believe, not just have a feeling, that once we get the ball rolling and the hype train moves, people are going to contribute. They're going to contribute. And that's going to pump up those mints. And with a collection size of 3K, we want to have enough pre-sale spots as well. And to actually have the reward system in place, then as those rewards start running out, there's not going to be many for public. So for us, we do want to give, again, the community and the contributors the best chance. And most of the collection is going to be sold at 0.08.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that seems very reasonable for even a 10K collection of this caliber, but especially a 3K collection. Cool. Yeah, that's good to know. Is there anything we haven't touched on? We have covered a lot.
I think
the rest of the team.
The team, yeah. Who else is, so there's the three of you. Who else is on board? Who else is working on this project?
Yeah, sweet. So we've got myself, Led, and Feds as founding partners. The artist, Sean, he wants to come on as a founding partner as well after the mint, which is when we're going to go along that route. Our business coach, Ren Castillo, I'll let Addison talk about him because he's probably a lot more versed in his background. What I know is that he's on the board of 11 tier one companies and NGOs. What was the ones he worked for again? Was it Audi?
Yeah, he's had clients such as Audi and like McDonald's and stuff, you know, those self-serve. So Ram Castillo, he's a designer. Mm-hmm. And he actually designed those self-serve checkouts at McDonald's. So he's very experienced, business owner and investor of 11 companies.
Yeah, on the board for those ones.
He's our business coach.
That's
so
awesome.
So we're not coming into this with, zero business experience. We've actually got some with real world experience and he's like new to NFTs, but he's been like doing his research as well. And I think it's good to have like the whole business structure as well, the whole business model, because without it, you know, you're not really going to hit targets. If you're not like specific in the goals, you're just going to hit around the goal, not bang on it, that sort of stuff. Mm. So, yeah.
He's helped us narrow our focus a lot. And it's really, it shows, well, not just from the work we've put in since, you know, late September, start of October, but just how finely tuned this project is. There's been a lot of his help and his experience in the traditional business world. So for that as well, we've got our lead Discord engineer and data scientist. His name is NFT Solo. He's been around the NRM network for a long time, and he's got a lot of background in back-end design and bit of front-end design. And
NFT Solo is a back-end developer with a background in security, and he worked at Apple for 4 years. He's all about creating secure communities to enrich a user's experience. So he's a great asset in our team.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we've got our Solidity developer, FireGod. He's actually part of, we found him in your community, Zendikar.
I know FireGod.
yeah. So he's amazing. And he was one of the first to join our team as well. He saw the vision. We got him in like early November before everything was really fleshed out, like completely. You know, we had a good vision and whatnot, but he's been with us for a very long time. Nice. Then not only that, as I said, we've got CryptoNaut, who's our artistic and iconography advisor. And yeah, he's got, as I said, the 25 years experience in architectural and graphic design in Germany and Australia, with 10 exhibitions for his abstract artwork that he's had in European galleries in the early 2000s. And yeah, so then, and we've also got all our mods. We've got about 6 mods already, and we are looking to scale up the team as that goes on. In terms of the community management, we're taking that on board, us three to start off with, but we already have a good idea who our community manager is going to be as well. But again, we're saving that closer to launch. And yeah, not only that as well, within our Discord, like we're always present. Our DMs are always open. We're all doxed. All our founders are doxed. Our artists are doxed. You know, you can look me up in the phone book and hunt me down if I ever rip it, rug pull you. So yeah, that's not going to happen on our end. And not only that as well, yeah, we're here for the long term. We're here for the community, and we're here for the value model. We're very excited.
Yeah, honestly, it's clear. I absolutely. And I think anyone watching this, like seriously, if you're watching this, this is what a good team looks like. This is what a good project looks like. You've got the business experience. You've got a great artist. You've got, you know, so many people fulfilling so many important roles that, and you're not planning the launch for like, you know, still a couple of months, maybe, depending. But
that's right.
It's fantastic that you've put them this much thought into it. You're taking your time to do it right, and honestly, I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a great project, and I want to come plant trees in Australia with you one day.
Party with us. It's going to be impressive. Yeah, you're very invited. Sure. Don't you worry about that. You'll have a great time. Sure. A good old bush duff is good for any Australian, right?
It is. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be fun.
And we can make the bush. We can make the bush and then doofing it in the future too.
Yeah. 20 years, we'll come back and I'm sure you'll still be around.
In 20 years, those trees can be, pretty tall.
Party with our Web Zero stumpies.
That'd be awesome. So awesome. All right. Any other parting comments or last words or things? Where can people find you? Like, what are the best ways aside? Like, we'll put the links below to Discord and Twitter and stuff.
So Discord and Twitter is the best way always to keep in contact with us. You know, we're very active on our Discord and our Twitter. We've also got the Instagram, which we've mentioned before. We'll consider other social networks as we progress. But for now, obviously, NFTs, Discord, Twitter. That's going to be our main model as well. We do have a...
We'll put our Twitter, we'll put our Discord, we'll put our link to our Medium articles, and we'll put a link to our white paper.
Yeah. And also, we do have an email address for any traditional business that wants to contact us through Planet Capital and have some partnerships with us.
Cool. Yeah, we'll drop all those links below.
That's great.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Just a quick one, Zen.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
Go for it.
So you know we're already on Twitter and Instagram, but if we were to choose another platform, which one would you recommend, like setting up next?
Yeah.
Would it be Reddit or say
probably
like
not Facebook Reddit. Group? I don't think NFTs are. I think maybe a Facebook group. It sort of depends on what you're wanting to do. I think YouTube is not a bad option either because your docs, you're willing to put your faces out there. And just what I've seen work really well with some projects is to have like a vlog, video log of like just updates, talking to the community saying, this is what we worked on today, or this is what we did this week. You talk about wanting to create a documentary, just start creating the documentary now and talk about what you're working on.
Yeah.
People really appreciate being able to see that, human element in a way that you can't really get on Reddit. And TikTok is TikTok. I don't know. I'd probably say, YouTube.
Sounds great.
I've been thinking about that for myself as well, and just so I can start talking about some other concepts in the NFT space as well. I'm going to revive my old podcast with another NRM member, Tardy. I did one episode and then started this project, so it came down the wayside.
Yeah.
So having a YouTube as well to short form some of the, not just the stuff we talk about, but just some NFT concepts, because, everyone in our community in the NRM space, they're very knowledgeable.
Mm. Yeah, and the beauty of it is you can reproduce that content and you post it on your Twitter, post it on your Discord, post it on Instagram, take clips of it, and the beauty of content creation,
very curatable for good marketing.
Repurpose. Yeah, exactly. And I guess the one bit of advice I would say is just to get started. Like just start.
Yeah.
And,
Cool. That sounds good.
And then just
work another mission for today. Then, I'll set up a YouTube page. Maybe I'll get a little 5-minute one out. Why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah, that's also where a documentary is going to be posted. So there's definitely a channel
there. Yeah, true. We're going to need it eventually anyway, aren't we? So.
Nice. Well, we'll also post a link to your YouTube because you'll have it by the time this video goes out, I'm sure. There's some homework. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for jumping on and chatting with me and sharing your project.
Thanks for inviting us on here today, Zeniger.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Appreciate it, mate.
Love to have you back again. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we'll have you back, in a few months when you're out planting trees or something. We could do something really cool.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Great. We look forward to it, and we look forward to more chats.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Cheers, Matt.
Thanks for listening to Zen Chats with Zeniger. Please consider subscribing to the podcast so that you are notified of future episodes. Also, make sure to check out our YouTube channel for the video version of this episode. For even more podcasting fun, check out the other podcast I co-host, Two Bored Apes. If you enjoy my content, please consider joining us at Zen Academy, a place where anyone, anywhere, at any level can learn about NFTs and Web3. All of the links are in the description below. I'll catch you next time.